What is in a programming language anyway? Variables, functions, if statements, loops, and objects to group variables and functions together into a structure that later makes sense to you. For example, if my app dot user logged in, then my app navigation sign out button dot visible equals true. Because when a user is logged into the app, you want to show them a sign out button. But if they are not logged in, then you can't show them a sign out button because they have nothing to sign out of. So computer programming is pretty simple. It's actually kind of dumb. If you stick to one programming language, like the latest modern JavaScript, it's even simpler. Programming is just about variables that you define, which hold data. Like, for example, server address equals catp.com. And of course, if statements that you use on your variables, like if user.loggedIn, then redirect to profile. And functions that you call, which most often return variables. You usually create a lot of functions yourself, and they represent the shape of your program. If you are writing a virtual world or a mud, then you will have a function that says player.goNorth. Or better yet, room.connect north and then universe.create room living room. To create a living room north of the room that you are currently in. Many of the tiny functions come from your operating system. So like openletter.txt is something that the programming language creators let you have. It is a wrapper function for the operating system's open file call. And you create wrapper functions so that they are all available to you on the same level as the language that you are using, so that you don't have to call any special system functions to get at it. The programming language itself will bring in a lot of its own functions. And one of the coolest and most forbidden functions in JavaScript is eval. It is often said that it is evil, so I'm not going to tell you about it. You should also know that some variables are actually groups of variables. Groups are a big deal in programming. You can use a group variable to store a bunch of URLs that you then download and convert to plain text. This way you can simplify your news and just get the plain text version. If statements actually have a sister that comes in really useful here, and that is the loop. Here you can say, I will loop over my list of URLs or web addresses and call some functions such as download URL and then convert to text. Functions can also be grouped, but it's not really a list. This is where you hear that dot a lot, because when you try to say use a function of a group, you have to divide the group name from the function name, and you do that with a dot. So you can say user dot log out. It does not make too much sense to put functions in a sequence unless you're trying to execute a really simple sequential program, or maybe like a functional reactive programming program. So you throw them in a generic container, collection, group, or a bag. The word bag is something I'm just using here to show you that it's just this generic thing that contains. And this would be another variable in your program. So you can have functions inside a variable. Everything works like that. You can mix and match and build these hierarchies of things. Usually, it's best to keep things simple. The correct name for a bag or generic group of functions is object. Object-oriented programming, as it is called, became useful because you can sort functions into different places, order them based on the object that they belong to, and build hierarchies of things. But things do get pretty fuzzy here, because why stop at putting functions in a bag? Why not say user.name equals Alice? The dot actually comes from the world of object-oriented programming, but you should know that in JavaScript, you can kind of have this generic group object where you don't have to define it first or create a new instance of the object from the object-oriented programming world. But that is just a shorthand notation for the underlying object. And why would you want to use object-oriented programming? How does it help you? Well, it's because you can create an object called user, and then create two variables, one named user1 and the other one named user2, and the first one can be configured for Alice, and the second one can be configured for Bob. So you have two instances of an object that defines a user. And here you can, for example, compare if their email address is perhaps not the same to eliminate a spammer, for example. A more realistic example is where you have a list of users, like in a spreadsheet, which is what a database really is. In a spreadsheet, your data automatically updates, and in a database, you create lots and lots of sheets and then join them in a way that you need them. So it's not all the cells updated all the time, but you just kind of pick things by hand manually. Here, rather than thinking in sheets, you think in rows of data, where each row, for example, can represent a user. Often people go the extra step and set up a useful user object for each row. You can have database rows dot find username Alice, which then returns an object that would have some useful functions. So database rows, or more often database.query, fills the user object out for you. So there's this generic concept of a user object, and the database is connected to it, and it will give it to you. So then you can call functions on it, such as maybe ban, or change password, or reset password, or lost password, you know, user things. If you were programming a mod or a virtual world, you would define an object named room, and then dream up what your room objects should be about. Do you want your rooms to have a go function which moves the player through some door? Or do you want your user to have a go function? What sounds better for you? What if you want to move a chair, for example? Do you want to write a go function for a chair? Or move function in the room? Or an inventory object that you attach to the user where they can put the chair in their inventory and then say, player.go living room and player.inventory drop chair. Building out objects with functions can be like building out a little universe, except that most often that universe is the idea that you have for your program. So objects and lists are like a higher level grouping mechanism for variables and functions, where functions can call other functions, both ones that you define and those that came with the programming language. And this is often based on if statements testing a value of some variable. And if you do have a list, then you use a loop to apply some function to each of the items in the list. And often in that function, you will have lots of if statements and call other functions and maybe do some more looping. There's this funny thing where people call HTML a programming language. Technically, it isn't. So I figured I'd explain it to you here in the end. So HTML has these nested tags, and each tag can have attributes, and in most cases, you have to close the tag. You can right-click on a web page and click View Source to see the whole madness in there. So all this actually represents a hierarchy of nested objects. All the tags have corresponding objects, and the tag attributes are applied to those objects. You could create a tag named user with attributes name and email, and that would be perfectly valid. But the reason why HTML is not a programming language is that it is only used to create a deeply nested hierarchy of variables. It doesn't have if statements or loops. It doesn't have function calls even. It is just like the variable creation part of a language. Converting tags to objects may sometimes be called hydration, because tags in their text form are like dehydrated object hierarchies. Interesting new inventions like Svelte can mix logic and loops with HTML, so Svelte's markup is closer towards a programming language, but it is still just a templating language, because templating HTML traditionally is not really thought of as programming. Templating often does not even understand the tags that it is applied over. Finally, if you are going to learn a language, learn JavaScript, because it helps you program windowed applications with Electron. On the server, you can create applications with Node.js, and in the browser, you get to create things that live alongside HTML and SVG. HTML allows you to include a code editor in your program and really pretty user interfaces. And SVG, or the related canvas technology, allows you to manipulate graphics, including 3D graphics. I should also mention that JavaScript lives in the family of C languages, so programming C will not feel weird, because you will have the general syntax of it right in your fingertips. But, you know, C language is much more primitive, and there you can't just define a variable and run with it. You have to manage its memory. To pull in all the technologies that you get for free in the JavaScript world, in programming languages like C or Java or Python or PHP even, you may end up with outdated or just old and abandoned libraries, or libraries that are not fully implemented. So it's going to be like 99% of SVG, and the hard parts are not going to be quite stable. If you just stick with JavaScript, you get the full range of technologies. As to whether or not you should consider learning programming, knowing programming is like having a smartphone. It is the new standard. All the young people will eventually know it. But the previous generations can still be pretty hip-hop without the gosh darn thing.